We're invited to experience God's word this morning as recorded by the prophet Isaiah, speaking to God's people. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength in my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. May God bless the reading of his holy and inspired word.
You have been with us for the last several weeks, actually over a month. You will know that we have been going over some mountains. We've been trying to see what is at the top, only to come down the other side, sometimes into a nice valley of flowers, and then you look ahead to see another mountain. And in this case, you look ahead, and there's not only a mountain, but there's fog. And so you're enjoying the flowers and you're enjoying each other and you're enjoying life and you go, you know, I just know there's something ahead. I just know there's something ahead because, first of all, we've lived that something ahead in the past. We've got it in our history. We've got it in our minds and our tapes. And we've got it in the scriptures. We can't avoid it. God says that there are things ahead. Things for the world. And things for you and me. Martin Luther, of his life, writes, I have known these tribulations since my youth, but I never expected that they would so increase. When I was first inducted into the monastery, it happened that I would go always around sad and depressed and could not shake it off. It began early in life and recurred throughout the middle years. And he regarded these as visitations and temptations of the devil and tempting his faith. It wore on his conscience, made him feel guilty, and yet he endured. He says they lasted, to be sure, only a short while, but they were so hard and infernal that no tongue can express their power. No pen describe it, nor can anyone believe it who has never had the experience. If they should remain as the most extreme point for maybe 6 minutes or, yes, even an hour, the victim must quite perish and all his bones be turned to ashes. He seems to have suffered severe attacks of despair, especially the feeling that he was hated of God at times. He says, I was beset by the most extreme temptations, fear of the wrath of God. They devoured my body as with fire so that I scarcely remained alive. The attacks followed him through life, but with advancing in years, he worked out a system, largely based on scripture, by which he gave himself a successful treatment. He declares that no one could console him, so that he was obliged to ask, am I the only one to suffer the spirit of sadness? I saw so many apparitions, but 10 years ago when I was alone, God comforted me with his angels to go on struggling and writing. Now, look at that last part. To go on struggling and writing. What if Calvin would have quit? Luther would have quit. Others would have quit. Your pastors of the past, your adult teachers when you were young in Sunday school, What if our teachers up and quit? Your parents up and quit? You up and quit? It affects you. It affects the church. It affects your family, and it affects the world. Do you realize that in reality, you and me stand between heaven and earth? We are really between heaven and earth. We are really living almost a dichotomy. Lord God, Jesus Christ, you are my King. I didn't feel that when I woke up this morning. I didn't feel like that when I went to the morgue the other day, or the funeral home the other day, or the hospital the other day. I didn't feel that when people were getting on me, getting on my case. I got angry. I sinned. That's not what I've heard the kingdom is. And yet, Jesus Christ says you are his adopted co-heirs with Jesus Christ. The Father is your Father. We stand between heaven and earth. As we head for this last mountain, we are saddled with the thing that either God has given us or God has allowed to buffet us. Go back and read Job, chapter 1 and 2. God gave it to Job. Church, God has given it to you. You have a decision. Am I going to remain here between heaven and earth and wait for the rest of the trip? Or am I going to settle back down? We can look around and see God is angry. We see his judgment coming. We read his judgment coming. We don't want to talk about it. We want to bury our heads. Trust me, I want to bury my head. And yet, so many has gone before us. Many of us deal now with a dreadful fear that is all ours. Nobody else knows it. There's people here, you are dealing with something that nobody else can deal with. And God has worked his way into your life, and he is leading you along, and to the greatest of those who despair the greatest, he has given you a different kind of faith. And he's given the church, in particular, you as a Christian, a uniqueness that will take you through this life. We find comfort in knowing God's word is coming true, don't we? We find great comfort in knowing it's coming true. And yet, when you look around and you read the news and you see the bad news, it still hurts. And we're still afraid. And then when we're alone sometimes, we're so very afraid and don't feel free at times. Well, we are. We are free and we are headed somewhere. Our scripture today says, you will say in that day. First of all, who's he talking to? He's talking to those people who are between heaven and earth. He is not talking to people who have not accepted God's word and don't understand him and are not heirs and co-heirs with Christ. We are is his family, and that's who he's talking to the Jews who are his, to the real seed of Abraham, and the church. You will say, in that day. That's not happening now. Sometimes it's happening. We came on Sunday and we sang some great songs and glorious songs, and we talked about that day and how we're looking forward to that day. And then again, only to wake up tomorrow morning or to go about our business going, okay, Lord, see, I can't sing that song all the time. Whatever's going to be said, I don't say every minute of my life. Ask my wife. Ask my kids. It's not being said every minute of my life. But one day, it is going to be a settled matter. So that's who he's talking to, his family. We're not able to do it all the time now. Sometimes we're not even willing. Lord, don't pull that out of me now. I really don't feel like saying it. I really don't want to face this. I don't want to do this. And really, to be honest with you, if it is happening now, if we're able to say these words, how? Only by the Spirit of God. Only by His strength are we able to say, Lord, I can worship You this day, no matter what I see around me. I will praise Your name. I will lift my voice and my heart and my hands and everything that is in me to worship You. But that's only by the Spirit of God. But do you realize that one day, that's going to just be who you are. It's just going to be who you are. Last couple of weeks, we've been talking about who we're going to be and what we're going to do in a millennium. Trust me, the angels, it's the angels that are flying around, holy, 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 with the four wings, okay? You and me are not going to be doing that. We've got responsibilities. God has gifted you here. You're faithful in little. He's going to give you much. We got work to do. So it's not going to be this fluffy stuff, but we're going to have this heart and motivation and able and willing just to worship the Lord. Did you know that there's a king in Zion? We're going to be able to say that and believe it and know it. And by the way, again, once a year, we're going to Jerusalem. Once a year. In the millennium. That day. What day? Well, I got to remind you what day it was. Remember last week? In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the people, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place will be glorious. I love David. I want to meet King David and all of that. I think he's going to be a co-regent. He's going to be doing those wonderful things, but that's not talking about David. This is talking about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and he's going to give you and me a resting place. That day is coming. And in spite of what we see around us, in spite of some of what the church is doing and saying that day we got to bring it in or we got to work hard at it or what, forget that. Jesus Christ is the kingdom. He's bringing the kingdom with him. And when he comes and gets us, that's your resting place. And until that day, saints, there's really not going to be rest, total peace and rest, because it can only be where the king is. That day is coming. So, I don't know if you've ever done this. You ever done this? We're going to do something. We're going to sing this, but now before we do, we're going to sing it together, all right? Everybody knows this song, right? What a day that will be, right? Okay, we sing this. Everybody who believes, before we go on, everybody who believes this day is coming, sing this with all your heart. And if you have a tough time believing this day is coming, now is the starting gun to say, this is my faith. I believe this day is coming. I just want to sing it together. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more fears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Now listen to me. Can you sing that by yourself in the closet? Because that is faith. You say, remember, hope is something that is ahead of us that we can't see. Faith is the unseen, but the hope says, Lord, You've promised us that day, and it is coming, and I'm going to sing it until it comes. That's faith. Revelation 12:1. So you will say in that day, I will give thanks to You, O Lord, for though You were angry with me, Your anger turned away, that You might comfort me. I know this may be petty a little bit, but I want to take just a second here and correct something. When you get to that day, when you're over there, are you going to say, I will sing, or I will give thanks, or are you just going to do it? This is not the greatest of translations right here. I give thanks. When you get over there, that's who you're going to be. We're saying now, I will say, the Lord is saying, you will. This is who you will be when you get there on that day. Because remember, then there's no such thing as faith. You need faith now. It's a precious gift we'll talk about. It's given to you right now. But there's a day where the faith becomes sight. And there's no more hope. There's no more worrying, because there's no more pain and no more fear and no more doubt. No more temptation from the devil who's locked up. That day is coming. But until then, until that day, we are needy. And God has granted us a wonderful gift. His resting place shall be glorious. 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Now, we're not going to get into the why others don't have faith. We can discuss that all day long, all week long, all month long. But what we do not have to discuss is the issue of me having faith, because you're here. You believe in the Lord and you're here and you have this faith. And the question is, as Simon Peter is here saying, is he's a servant and he's projecting and he's working out his faith. And so he's saying, you have the same faith. Work it out until that great day comes. That day, because there is coming a day of when we live in spirit and wisdom and counsel and righteousness and a right judgment, and the earth is glad and abundant, when the calf and the lion are grazing together, and who leads them? The children. We can't even picture that now. It's a wonderful picture, but it's not just a myth. It's not just a story. It's coming. You have something. You, listen, folks, you have something very few on the planet have. I mean, we've gone through the numbers. We don't know exactly, and we're not going to do one by one. But let's suffice it to say, as the Lord has said, that the faith on the earth will be less and less. So if you have it, you are unique. In fact, in the Lord's eyes, you are special. The faith that you have that is taking you to that last mountain and then over that last mountain is the most precious thing that you own. It is the most, you can't buy it. You can't, you know, it's God. It's from the Lord. It's from heaven. It comes straight from heaven. And that's why the devil wants to take it from you, and the world doesn't understand it. And we need to understand it and say, I am practicing this most special gift. You don't get you've asked for something for Christmas or your birthday, and you take it out and play with it for 10 seconds and put it away, and some kids do that. But we don't do that as adults, do we? I mean, think about this. We're thinking, you know, I'm going to store up some money. I'm going to wait. You know, Austin's doing that now. He's putting his money away. And by the way, Grandma, don't buy me a gift for my birthday. Just give me a little bit of money because I'm headed for something. And when he gets there, I know what it is. And when he gets there, it's not going to be sitting on the side, because he's already trying to use it, but he doesn't have it. And so you have something that you really, let's face it, you bought with your soul. You've given your soul and your spirit to the God and say, Lord, I need faith to make it through until that final day. Help me to that final day. You have something that the Lord has given you and the world does not understand. In Hebrews 11:33-35, I just put in parentheses believers. They're saying, he's talking about believers through faith, through this precious gift that very few have. Through faith, these people conquered kingdoms and enforced justice and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the power of fire and escaped the edge of the sword and were strong out of weakness, became mighty to war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by the resurrection. By resurrection. The world's not accepting this. In fact, this is myth to them. You and I believe this. My question to you today, after all we've heard, all we've seen, and all we're seeing coming around about us, what is going to help you and make it through, to help you make it through these days? Whether the Holy Spirit takes us out of here during Pentecost, during Shavuot, here in a week or so, or in the fall, or 10 years? How long do we have to wait? I'm just going to say this. It shouldn't matter. It does, but it shouldn't matter. Lord, I will wait until you come. That's my faith. Because I believe there is coming a day. There's coming a day. It's so precious. Behold God, he says in verse 2, we're finally getting to verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Now, even Roger got to this morning when he was singing the song. This is wonderful. Remember, earlier he said, I will do this. What's he saying now? This is Isaiah helping us declare something in the here and now. Behold, he's saying. Isaiah is saying, behold. Understand this. See this. God is my salvation. And we are saying this here and now. This is our faith now. You realize that when you go into the closet, when you get up in the morning and sing songs in the shower or whatever you do. There's a picture for you. Whatever we do to say, Lord, I want to serve you. VBS, serve me, whatever it is. That there is a faith being used here and now, because in our hearts we're saying, God is my salvation. This is not will be. This is my salvation. I will trust in him now and will not be afraid now. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. See, faith will become sight later. We're going to get those precious promises later. We're going to receive. Remember in Hebrews 11, it says they never received. Abraham did not get his land. But we're going to receive all those promises right along with all those saints. But right now, we already have salvation. Die today, you're there. Whatever happens from here on out, that is a done deal. Sealed in heaven. The Lord doesn't lower you back to earth. You're between heaven and earth. He's leading us in a declaration. Verse 3, with joy you will draw, this is a will, later on, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of the water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. You know that this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. The woman is out in the midday, she's got nothing, nobody. That guy back home that she's a little bit afraid to tell Jesus about, maybe. And Jesus is saying, hey, we're not talking about this well with stale water. And don't worry that I don't have a bucket. Because the water that I'm going to give you will satisfy you. Revelation 22:1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Again, there's coming a day. I wonder how many of us want to see this river. Who want to take of it? Angel, show me this river because it's coming. Verse 4, and you will say, again, he backs up, you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, proclaim that his name is exalted. And right here we got to stop because some of us haven't been here the last several weeks to say, now wait a minute, who are we proclaiming in heaven if we're already saved? We're all saved. This is in the millennium. There's people not saved in the millennium. There's people who go into the millennium who need to hear, listen, trust in God because you got 1,000 years to go. 1,000 years, and at that end, everything's put to the end. But we will proclaim it in that day. In verse 5, sing praises to the Lord. He's saying this now. He goes, see how he's doing? He's saying, in that day you're going to do this, do this now. In that day you're going to do this, do this now. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. in all the earth. That is to be done now and in the millennium. But this is our work now. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. Great is your midst in the Holy One of Israel. In the presence of God and of Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Right, the reason I put this verse here is because this is Paul talking to Timothy, and look where he is. He's not dead here. He's between heaven and earth. And he's saying, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, I'm doing this now. He's saying, in the presence of his God, because he's living between heaven and earth, looking for that day. Now, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of the Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from all evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see, there's that day again, as you see the day approaching. Now, we talked about a few weeks ago, that one of the things on the list that Jesus would talk about, Paul talked about, Peter and others, was the apathy that's coming on the church and the quietness and the sleeplessness and a falling away. And what he's saying is, you see that day coming, we should do it even more. Gather even more in assurance of faith. It's a practice of the faith that you have in living between heaven and earth. Now, before we go on, I need to do a caveat here. I'm going to back up a couple few weeks. You're going to feel like I'm going to throw you a curveball here. All right? Especially some of you folks who haven't been here. I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball. We're going to tie it together. Because what does 2 and 3 and 4 weeks ago have to do with now? With rejoicing in my closet now. In praising in my closet now. In enduring now. I want to show you something. This was in the news last couple days. There's Syria. You all know what's happening in Syria. You see the purple, the Golan Heights? That's the major key right now. Jerusalem will be the key, but the Golan Heights is the draw right now. And so that little pink spot is where the United Kingdom and the United States and some other armies thought that they would just set up camp. They thought they would just set up a little camp there for the last several months. And they're looking at this, people are looking at this going, well, that's a strange place out in the middle of the desert. Why are they right there? And this is not major news then, but it's becoming major news now. Because look where that little dot moved. And so Assad, the government, which, you know, maybe he has a right to say, I don't know, I'll leave it to you. But he's saying, hey, wait a minute. You guys just crossed the border in the south. There's no ISIS down there. What are you guys doing down there? You guys, wait a minute. That's a strange place. Unless you think about what Netanyahu asked Trump to do a few weeks ago. Help us, protect us from what's happening after ISIS leaves. Does that look familiar? And so, let me back up a second. A couple days ago, some Hezbollah and some Hamas, I mean, Hezbollah and some Iranian and Assad troops were bombed by the United States in that area as they were coming across. And that's the first time that Assad-backed troops have been shot at or bombed except for that one chemical weapons issue. Why is this a big issue? Well, to top that off, in the last couple days, the United States has sent his president and a whole lot of people and a whole lot of money to Saudi Arabia. You can see $350 billion over 10 years. That, I don't know, but that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. What does this have to do with that day coming? Well, some of you know where I'm going, because this is Ezekiel 38. And who is Saudi Arabia? Why would the United States be doing this with Saudi Arabia? Now, if he becomes enemies with Saudi Arabia, God puts his whole plan on hold. But I want to show you a scripture in Ezekiel 38:13. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, that's us, and all the leaders will say to you, to all those northern guys in Iran and all those folks, have you come to see spoil? What are you doing coming down here? What are you doing coming down here? Now, this is where I want to tie this all in for the last several weeks. Jesus said in three of his gospels and in no uncertain terms in several places to guard and to watch. And then he said, listen what he said. All of his 12 disciples are right here. And he said, what I say to you, I say to all. That's a quote. What I say to you, I say to all. When you see these things coming about, lift up your head. Now again, this is God's plan. We're not here to say what's going to happen or when it's going to happen. But when it's happening, we should understand. Now what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with me and my fear and my pain and the things that I'm facing now? Listen, if we can look around and see these things and those things are happening, which are way bigger than me, then he can take care of me. He cares about me. Because that day's coming, I can say, Lord, okay, I see these happening and I don't like it. I don't like having to tell the church or my friends what's really happening on the planet. But Lord, you can say, that day's coming, help me say to my friends and my family, do you see? Do you see what's coming? I lift up your name. I don't want anybody to be hurt. I don't want there to be war. I hope there's peace and all those things, but I don't see that now. What I see is Ezekiel 38 now. What I see is Zechariah 3 now. Zechariah 2. What I see is Isaiah 17 and 29 and Jeremiah 49 now. The stage now. It could be 40 years, but Lord, I see a stage now. And that tells me your day is still coming. And I lift my hands and voice to you and praise you. Finally, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Therefore, the promises come by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. I want to get to a song, a final song. Today's a day of song. We won't sing this one. This is a wonderful Stephen Curtis Chapman song. Was God smiling when he spoke the words that made the world? And did he cry about the flood? What does God's voice sound like when he sings, when he's angry? These are just a few things that the angels have on me. Well, I can't fly, at least not yet. I got no halo on my head. And I can't even start to picture heaven's beauty, but I've been shown the Savior's love. The grace of God has raised me up to show me things the angels long to look into, and I know things the angels only wish they knew. The redeeming grace of God. And we have that by the wonderful gift of faith by Christ. And by the way, remember that poor soul who said, Lord, I believe. Help me believe. Help me increase my faith. And so it says the Lord added to your faith. If you go out from here and you struggle with faith, just ask the Lord. Think about this. When you voice outside, Lord, I lack faith, give it to me. That's faith. That's faith. You're asking the Father of lights for wisdom from above and faith to open our hearts. As we take it to the world and others and our family and the things that we're facing today. Lord, we worship you and thank you for your mercy. We don't know exactly what's happening. We don't know exactly what will happen. But you've given us enough, Jesus. You've told us enough. You've given us a list that we can see some things and know that the summer is near. We know that day is approaching. And so until then, Lord God, I pray for every soul in this church sitting in these pews today that you will increase their faith, that you will strengthen my faith, that you will help us, Lord God, be brave before our families and our friends and our buddies and whoever else it is, because we believe and we will sing that day is approaching, and we thank you so much for that day. In Jesus' name.